Blog Talk Radio.
In Dallas, Texas on Friday, June the 18th. We're going to get together today with our friend Leslie Eastman, great friend of our show and also contributor to Legal Insurrection. We got a lot to talk with Leslie about this week. It's awfully hot here in North Texas. If you have not heard, we're under a tremendous heat wave, and I believe it's also that way in California. So let's say hello to Leslie. How are you, Leslie?
Happy to be on your show today, Silvio, and a hearty welcome and happy Father's Day to the fathers in the legal, Silvio Canto talk audience.
Well, also on the legal insurrection family, too. I mean, everybody,
yeah.
Every father listening, including your husband, of course. Happy Father's Day to him because, you know, this Father's Day has come by pretty quickly. I don't know if that happened to you, too, but it seemed like Mother's Day, I was very much conscientious of it because my mother was very sick. And, you know, she was turning 92 on the 10th of May, and Mother's Day was May 9th, and she was not doing well. So I was very conscientious of the fact that it would probably be our last Mother's Day with her. And so we had her on Mother's Day. She, you know, was alive, and on the 10th, which was her 92nd birthday, and, of course, she died the next day, a day after turning 92. So I was very focused on Mother's Day. And so Father's Day kind of flew by real fast. But I'm ready for it. I always enjoy Father's Day because I usually get something. Father's Day. I usually get something, you know. So we'll see what surprise is there. What little gift is there waiting for me on Sunday morning. It's usually something that is very practical. I've gotten used to that over the years, like a tie or a shirt, something very practical that I can use. Well, is it warm in California? I mean, I know you have different temperatures.
I was going to say, it's Texas, and I think the Southwest is suffering far more. We just have our usual 75, 80 degree sunny weather in San Diego, so it might be warmer elsewhere. But I'm not going to sit here and complain. Well, you know, Texas and the rest of the country undergoes a fairly significant heat wave at the start of summer.
Yeah, 91 right now. It's 91 in the early afternoon here. So it's going to get warmer in the afternoon. It'll probably hit 95.
And then the next bonus, you all have humidity, whereas we have very little out here. So again, I'm not really inclined to complain about my weather. I've got so much more I can complain about,
as you know. I know, and we've got an hour to do that today, so we have plenty of time to hear some of that. But I do want to say this up front: Happy number 79 to Paul McCartney, of course, of the Beatles, and then his own career. I mean, 79, it's hard to believe, but I guess, you know, he's been around for a long time. So, you know, we've known him for much of those 79 years. I mean, an incredible performer, Leslie.
Yes, Beatles, of course, such a great, you know, great music and so many wonderful songs. I remember giving my son kind of the education of rock and roll, and we had the number one from the Beatles for all their number one songs, and that was one of Blake's favorites. And just happy to see that he seems to be rolling along and aging nicely, as we all are.
Right. No, he looks great, actually, for 79. He always looked great. He always seemed to have a good look, but he looks great at 79. Well, you mentioned Blake. Give us a quick update. I know that the young man is doing extremely well, but For those of some of the listeners who may not follow you on Facebook, what's the latest with Blake? Give us a quick report.
Well, Blake has started the summer programs, finished his freshman year up very nicely, Dean's List, getting good grades in all the courses, especially his science physics program. Started the summer with a combination program, first of one of which gave him a basic space operator certificate so he could operate the Falcon 6 satellite that sails by the Academy periodically. So he was really excited about that because it sounds like he's going to target Space Force for the future career. Still, you know, options open, but it looks like my plans for him to be the first Starship captain are coming along very nicely. And then he did jump school, so he completed 5 jumps, and I was asking for prayers, and prayers were answered, and he completed those, and he's on his way home for the vacation portion of the program before he does survival school upon his return and starts his sophomore year.
Now, when he finally makes it on that Starship, why don't you give him a musical gift, the best of Jefferson Starship? You know, a big band for the 1970s that maybe you recall, and I certainly do. So you can add that to his rock and roll collection. All right. Well, let's get into this. There's a lot of stuff. There's 4 big topics I want to chat with you today about. You just recently wrote a post at Legal Insurrection about COVID and Senator Paul and Dr. Fauci. And then I want to talk about, you know, President Biden in Europe, California recall, and then honestly, my favorite topic of the moment, which is these mothers going to these school board meetings and just unloading. And it's just my favorite topic. But let's begin. You write, obviously, a Legal Insurrection, and you have a post that I saw today regarding Senator Paul and Dr. Fauci and the labs. So just kind of give us a little explanation of that post and where
Here's something to keep in mind for your audience here. In late May, Biden ordered a review of all the findings of COVID origins and the ensuing pandemic within 90 days. We are now 3 weeks into that 3-month deadline. So I kind of did a status check on the various moving parts of anything related to an investigation. And one of those parts dealt with Rand Paul and his basically demand that those who were involved in the funding of the Wuhan Institute of Virology's coronavirus gain-of-function research should not participate in any further investigations. They should be, you know, and in fact, if they're based in participating in those investigations, it means they're being investigated and under scrutiny for their actions and behaviors. And 2 of the people involved in this assertion and demand are Dr. Anthony Fauci, whose fingerprints are all over the NIH funding of gain of research and the activities directed therein, and Peter Daszak. And for those of you who may not be familiar with it, Peter Daszak is the president of EcoHealth Alliance, which is the nonprofit group that received millions of dollars to run gain-of-function research at the Wuhan Institute of Virology, and then Peter Daszak was tagged as the quote-unquote lone American member of the Wuhan investigation team sent in by the World Health Organization. And all of a sudden, instead of getting from the research, the virus miraculously came from either a bat or a pangolin, in other words, natural origin. So clearly you can't have them investigating themselves. There are conflicts of interest that are clear and apparent to anybody who has any engagement. These people can't participate, but members of the DRASTIC team, and that's a group of, we'll say, very knowledgeable, intelligent, super sleuths that gathered together on, you know, online to get, you know, find information and find background that hasn't been offered by the American press. They came up, for example, with a video that was released on Sky News Australia, which I also covered for Legal Insurrection, featuring bat research that was done in the bats at the Wuhan Institute of Virology, despite Peter Daszak's claims that these bats were not present at the institute. So lies, obfuscations. But I'd also like to point out, for those in your audience who may be wondering, why has the press gone from discussing, you know, natural origin to allowing people to discuss the gain of function lab origin of the coronavirus, which I will point out Legal Insurrection has been inserting went on since February of 2020. So everybody is literally behind me by about a year, and a few other intrepid scientists, researchers, and investigators who also asserted that lab origin was the only clear explanation of the origin start. So there is news coming out. It's made a British publication, and it's the news that a Chinese language anti-communist media and Twitter are buzz because State Security Vice Minister of China, Dong Qinghai, defected in mid-February, flying from Hong Kong to the United States with his daughter, Dong Yang. Dong Qinghai supposedly gave the U.S. information about Wuhan Institute of Virology that changed the stance of the current administration and the subsequent media reporting on the origins of the pandemic. Dong is, or was, until he defected, a longtime official in the China's Ministry of State Security, and he is a publicly available background, indicates that he was irresponsible and in charge of the ministry's counterintelligence efforts in China, that is spy watching. So there are a lot of moving parts to the story, but the biggest is we have somebody who defected who is being obviously kept away from the inner machinations of the FBI/CIA that was one of the components that helped throttle the discussions of lab leak origin. Hmm. So lots of moving parts to this particular story that I think your listeners would be very interested in.
Well, and that is why I always check your articles at Legal Insurrection, because I think you're on top of this better than honestly the mainstream media or whatever we want to call them, because they seem to be, I think a lot of the mainstream media got so caught up with President Trump in 2020 and that they forgot to do their job, and I think we're finding that out now. So let me ask you just a quick question. So what do you expect to be the next big story in this? You say there are things happening, and you probably mean a lot of different things, but like what would you say could be the next big development here that could shake up our political class or our conversation about COVID?
I gotta say, I'm not certain. If the defectors, maybe I'll say this. If the defector is recently releasing information and it's beginning to stream out now that it was the Chinese military who not only created this virus, but unleashed it intentionally on the world. Yeah. And again, I'm not certain what's being downloaded, but I would say this is clearly the story to follow, because this would say that we were subjected to some on an order of more destructive than 9/11.
Right. No, this would be the equivalent. This would be a nuclear attack. I mean, 600,000 Americans. I mean, only 3,000 people died. I mean, I say only, but I mean, I say 3,000 people, I should say, died on 9/11. We're talking here about 600,000 Americans, and God only knows.
Well, to put it in perspective, when we bombed on Hiroshima, there were 100,000 deaths. So, is only the United States. It's like China unleashed this on the rest of the world, and the only explanation is they were about to be forced to sign trade agreements with the United States that would have substantially reduce their global economic power.
Well, I would add to that, Leslie. I would add to that too, forgive me for interrupting you, not only about the trade agreements, but there's no question in my mind who they wanted to win the 2020 election. So there's no question in my mind that they wanted to, you know, to do harm to President Trump, because they knew that it was going to be a different ball game with him than anybody else, and certainly with President Biden, Leslie.
Yes, which might make for a nice transition to your next topic.
Yes, that's right. President Biden in Europe, you mean, right? His little trip to Europe. Yes. Well, you know, it's interesting, because I actually think that too much was made out of this. Too much is usually made of these summits, I'll put it that way, regardless of who the president is. I think that they get to tend blown out of proportion because they become more media events than anything else. There's only been two that I can think of that have been very consequential: the Kennedy Khrushchev meeting in 61 and the Reagan Gorbachev meeting in 86. Those two clearly had consequences that were very obvious and impacted the world. But most of the others are usually over in a week or so, and we tend to forget about it because all the leaders have to go back to their own countries where they've got their own problems. I mean, if you're the lady from Germany or the guy from Italy or whatever, even the gentleman from France, I mean, you got to go back to reality, which is not that good. So these trips become like little vacations, you know, for you. But I've always felt, given what you just said, that China is a bigger threat than Putin. I'm not saying Putin's a nice guy. He's not. But I'm a lot more concerned about China than I am about Russia. And obviously, you know, that's not what this summit was really all about. We should be talking about China in so many ways, because China can go into Taiwan, as you know, and they can, you know, look at the virus. I mean, they can do stuff like that too. So I'm more worried about China. I wish we weren't as focused on Putin, but anyway, that's just my opinion.
Yeah, there are a few comments related to all that. As you said, there's a lot to unpack today. So China has done several air incursions into Taiwanese space. And in fact, last week was the largest air incursion on Taiwanese space. So there's that particular component. Another thing for everybody to pay attention to is that China has every intention of creating another 25 to 30 biology labs on the same scale and focus as the Wuhan Institute of Virology, the home of the coronavirus. So China is doubling down on being robustly aggressive, and their fishing fleets are now sailing off the shores of Argentina and South America, plundering the waters in the actual economic exclusive zones of these countries where they should not be setting foot on. So I think globally the world can have a lot of issue with China if they weren't so afraid of what the Chinese market and the Chinese economy, and maybe instead of relying on China to supply goods and services, goods on the cheap, worry about getting their, you know, abilities up to speed on supplying their own goods and materials to the population.
Absolutely.
And start cutting ties to China before those ties will get cut because of a robust and aggressive military action.
Right.
And in fact, several of the Chinese military officers that are high ranking have said that war with the United States is, you know, basically going to come. While they're focused on their greater profit and, you know, their Silk Road initiative and, you know, gaining their support, our military is dealing with wokeism and critical race theory.
Right.
So, you know, lots and lots to worry about here, but you're right. Putin, while a challenging person and definitely impacting allies we have, because he wants to recreate the glories of the former Soviet Empire, it is very much a distraction. But Putin and the summit and the G7 did do one thing for us, for which I think we should be grateful. And it's very clear that Biden is not up to performing as the president cognitively. Yes. And there is a former White House position that was a physician to both Obama and Trump,
Ronnie Jackson.
Yeah, demanding that Biden immediately submit to a cognitive test because his mental decline and forgetfulness have become more apparent in the last 18 months.
Yeah, no, it's obvious. I mean, all you have to do is watch him. And you don't have to watch him with a – I mean, just watch him with a with an objective eye. I mean, you don't have to be a Republican or Democrat or right, left. Just watch him. And obviously, you know, it doesn't take long for you to realize that this is a man who should have never taken this position, should have never been elected, probably never even nominated. This is a man who ought to be at home enjoying his later years. But under this pressure that he's under, look at the way he snaps at everybody. I mean, I was listening to a gentleman who was saying that those who've had, you know, grandfathers or grandmothers who suffer from this, that's one of the traits, that they get angry very easily. They snap back at you. And you're seeing that with – and again, I'm not a doctor. I don't pretend to play one. I mean, I never done that. But it's obvious that he's not sharp. I mean, that's obvious to anybody watching, Leslie.
Yeah, no, but he chose it. His family chose it,
yes.
And so I'm not letting them off the hook. My compassion stops when the American people are under threat, and the American people are under threat because they don't have a leader that functions in the best interests of the American people.
Right.
And
no, I think putting him through those 8 days or whatever that was, of constant pressure and that kind of media coverage, I mean, not very tough media coverage, to say the least, but media coverage anyway, I don't think that was good for him physically. I mean, he really needs a rest.
No, well, I argue oppositely. I say pull him out.
Right.
Let him. I want him operating, because if that is what they insist is going to be president, make him work to be president. And let the dice fall where they may.
Yeah.
So I am very grateful for the British and Indian press who were actually giving us real news about what was happening at the G7 and the Putin talks.
Yes.
And just to give everybody in your audience a heads up, in October, there's the G27 where China, and a very hostile China, will be a participant.
Yes, that's going to be very interesting, because you're right. China is coming in, and you're exactly right. Their hostility is right there, and they're threatening Taiwan, and they're building a huge naval fleet. I remember our friend Barry Jacobson. He calls it a blue navy. That's what they're doing. And man, it's going to get very nasty. Let me take a break, Leslie. When we come back, got a couple of other stories here I'd like you to comment on, and that is the California recall coming up.
All right.
And mothers against school boards. I love that topic, and I'm sure you've got something to say about that. We're going to take a break, and we'll be right back. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas. As always, the music of our good friend Carlos Guedes is what we feature on our show. Let's get back to our friend Leslie Eastman, contributor to Legal Insurrection and mother of Blake. I'll say that.
Yeah.
Blake's mom. You know, we'll just put it
Blake's
that
mom,
way.
Blake's mom, yeah.
Yeah, Blake's mom.
Yeah.
That makes like a good TV show, you know. Blake's mom, like Leave It to Beaver, Blake's mom.
Yeah.
That would be a great show. All right, a couple of other stories, Leslie, we want to get into with you. The California recall. Now, as I understand it, there's going to be a vote. The first question is, should he be recalled? Yes or no? Oh, is that right? Please explain it.
Yeah, all right, yeah. This is what's going on. Okay, so right now, the recall has gathered enough signatures, and those signatures have been verified. So the recall is happening. Now they're in the process of deciding when the recall will be scheduled. And there is a big to-do because the Democrats from the government, of course, want to give Gavin Newsom a break. And they are trying to rush it to shorten the campaign time for his opponents while stopping the recall from occurring in, shall we say, in the middle of our wildfire season, mm-hmm. where, you know, the government and the progressive policies that got us into the situation where there's significant wildfires will be more on display. So, and they also, because California has just experienced COVID freedom, in other words, the state has taken off the private restrictions, so our state, OSHA, has still implementing ones on the workplace. He's going to benefit from, shall we say, more positive, you know, feelings because of we're now have COVID freedom. So it's kind of disgusting. So they're going to try and move it, I think, to an August or September date, whereas the recall is usually in the fall, and the one for Gray Davis was in early October. So it shortens the time for the candidates. Until they set the recall date, there can be no formal candidates for recall. The former San Diego mayor, Kevin Faulkner, is probably going to toss his ring in the hat. There looks like there's some assembly members who appear to be launching their careers at the same time. What will happen that during the recall is a two-step process. First step is yes, no question, should Gavin Newsom be recalled? And if the yes votes supersede the no votes, the next phase is who should replace Gavin Newsom? And that's where you'll see all the candidates who are running be listed, and the person who gets the most number of votes will go ahead and be the governor after Newsom.
Right.
Now, that's how it's going to work.
And how much time is there between the first and the second vote? That's the part that I don't know.
There's not. They're at the same time. They're the same time.
Oh, okay. So I see. So if the first question, to explain it this way, if the first question is should he be recalled, if the answer is yes, then automatically someone on the list of candidates will become governor, right? Because Newsom is not going to be Newsom will not have the opportunity to be one of the options, right?
No. And what the Democrats have decided is that they're not putting a Democratic challenger on. The last time that we had a recall, that was for Gray Davis, there was a Democratic challenger. Cruz came, I believe, in second after Schwarzenegger did. They don't want any Democratic option because they want Newsom to retain his power. Granted, the family that includes Pelosi has a great deal of sway because while Washington, D.C. might be the great swamp, we are the little swamp. So,
but that's great. So the first question is, simply a yes or no. Should he be recalled? Yes or no. If the answer is yes, then it goes to the second question and the second vote, I guess, and that's simply and that's a plurality, right? Whoever comes in first?
Right, that whoever comes in first will be the next.
Okay. So what what chances does, is she a man or a woman? I don't know, Jenner. What chances does whatever her name is,
Jenner have? I would suspect very little. Especially since she did not the borders for those who are inclined to vote against Newsom, border security is probably the most critical issue after COVID freedom, and she just doesn't. She had a very weak stance on statements regarding, and quite honestly, I don't think she's. I think one of the mistakes that was made is that while Schwarzenegger was good and we thought, well, he can run a business, he could run a state, there's some degree of experience in a government environment that's probably useful.
Right.
So I don't think, and especially with Schwarzenegger being losing his popularity because of the way he handles himself in office, the appeal of a celebrity candidate is substantially less than it might have been earlier. So there's a lot of factors that are going into this. She's certainly interesting, had some good points to make in the early campaign. I don't think I would hope Gavin, I get them confused,
right.
would be recalled. I strongly doubt he will because, you know, that's not where, you know, who is he going to be replaced with? And there's nobody on the list who I think can excite people at the state level. And so they're probably just going to go ignore.
Right.
I hate saying that. It breaks my heart, you know, and things could change because it really depends on the list of options and what's going on. There's always a black swan. There is always something that could be revealed closer
right.
to the election or incident and happens that, you know, persuades people to recall it. But people, I think, were burnt and regretted the recall of Gray Davis. That's going to be in part what's in play as well.
Right.
You know, why, you know, who is it up? What's their experience? And can we really accomplish something meaningful by doing this?
And this is, as I understand you correctly, you're looking at September, October before the actual recall.
That was, I think they're moving it up to even maybe August.
Okay.
So it could be August, could be September, might be as late as October.
So at least a couple of months. Let's say
at least
a couple of months, let's say. Okay, so we have a couple of months to follow this, to follow the story. Well, one more topic that I want to get into, and that is, the battles that you're seeing at school board meetings between parents and particularly mothers and members of the school board, and some of the amazing speeches that we've heard from some of these mothers, like the Chinese-American lady who was speaking, the African-American lady who was speaking. I mean, the women, the mothers are really doing themselves a lot of good and really doing the country, I should say, a lot of good. Now, here in Texas, the governor just recently signed into law a rejection of critical race theory, so we're not teaching it here. I think Florida is the same. I'm sure there's other states around the country that have also done it. In California, though, you've got a big battle there. So what are the mothers in California planning to do, Leslie?
We just recently had a group of San Diego parents protest in front of the San Diego Unified School District's headquarters to stop critical race training in our schools. And I think everybody is worried, no matter what their race is, that kids will feel to be bad because they're judged by the color of their skin and by, you know, things that people have done in the past that have nothing to do with them. So there's that, you know, there's serious concern from parents who really would rather the teachers focus on reading, writing, and arithmetic. And one of the bad things in California is they've taken calculus out of school offerings because calculus is too challenging. And now they're making time for moral lessons that are best and properly delivered by parents and not the school. I think everybody agrees it's good to treat people politely and equally. And that kind of lesson should be taught by parents. There is no need to teach, you know, critical race theory and its components and highlight equity. And equity is basically making sure everybody achieves the same base thing, even if you have to hurt specific groups of people to do so. So, you know, and when you talk about the Tea Party, people are worried about their own finances and that, you know, housing and mortgage and that sort of thing. And that certainly was serious consideration. When you're talking about critical race theory, you're talking about kids.
Right.
And parents will fight no matter what their politics, no matter what their ideology, kids are going to be hurt. And there's nothing positive that can come out of race-based theory, especially when one of the leading proponents, this Ibram Zendi, can't even define what racism is.
Right.
So, you get who are becoming more aware. There have been several changes in school boards where school boards have been taken over by parents. I think one in Virginia most recently, who are taken over by parents who simply are running on a "I don't want critical race theory" platform. And I believe you are truly going to see more and more of that as parents begin to wrest control of the schools from the teachers' unions that have led by progressive leaders with no concern about really quality education, highlighting information necessary to give aid to the kids for their most success, and only highlighting progressive policy.
Absolutely. No, you're exactly right. Now, as I said, here in Texas, we've done away with it. But I said that if we had not done away with it in Texas, that there would have been more homeschooling. More and more parents simply saying homeschooling. The problem with homeschooling, as I'm sure you know, is that generally, the mom is the one who teaches. So if the mom is working, it's not possible for her to be at home teaching. So that's the reason that homeschooling is only 10% of the population. But, you're seeing more and more red states, I'll put it that way, moving in the direction of school choice. And I think we're doing that here in Texas as well. And that's the future, really, school choice, giving the parents more control. But in a way, one of the unintended consequences, Leslie, of the pandemic was the fact that it exposed all of this, and the parents were able to see what the kids were learning. And I think when the mom and dad were talking about all of this, they said to each other, is this what we're paying for? I mean, is this what we're paying whatever it is for? And I think that you're right. I think the teachers' union underestimated the parent. But Leslie, I think that's what always happens when you have a monopoly. Which is what the teachers' union is, or public education. It's a monopoly, and you can't compete. You cannot compete with them. So they become totally arrogant toward the customer. One more point I wanted to make, Leslie, on this: the Catholic schools in our area are completely full. I mean, completely. There's not a single desk open. And one of the gentlemen who's involved with the Catholic schools said to me that the phone at the Catholic schools doesn't stop ringing of parents saying, how can I get my kid into your school? We're not even Catholics. We just want to put them in a school where we at least have some confidence in what they're learning, and a school that will open, because the Catholic schools and most of the private schools were open, since August. Now, to be fair, most of the public schools in Texas also opened fairly early. But anyway, I see the parents, I guess to make a long story short, I see the parents taking control of this, and that's a good thing, Leslie. That's good because the parents need to be involved in their kids' education, and it looks like a bunch of them are, Leslie. And I think this is also going to be, Leslie, please tell me if you disagree, but I think this is going to be a huge issue in the 2022 campaigns for Congress. I would be very concerned if I was a Democrat in a competitive election, and I was in favor of what critical race theory, because I think there's a real backlash against it, and the parents are going to show up and vote for whoever the candidate is who's opposed to critical race theory, Leslie.
Yeah, you're correct on that, and part of the reason you can tell that critical race theory is beginning to really, hurt the Democrats is the media is in a rush to demonize anybody opposed to critical race theory.
Yes.
In fact, there is a public relations firm that was hired to smear one of the moms coming out of Rhode Island, Nicole Salas, and we follow her story on Legal Insurrection, where she did a Freedom of Information request for the information that her kids were being taught in her school district. And the way she did it was unusual, but she got the information and was able to mount a successful campaign. Well, the school board hired the relations firm and really just targeted her and smeared her as a racist.
Mm-hmm.
And then in my own case in San Diego, a bureaucrat associated with a school district, it was another school district in the San Diego area, the Poway schools, decided that the parents were misinformed, that they were misinformed because all of this thing they were teaching was everybody's going to be valued and appreciated, and it's equity and inclusion. and those words sound nice until you start digging in and realize that equity and inclusion basically means minimizing the achievements and contributions of one group and raising up another group at their expense.
Right.
And nobody's buying that. And now the bureaucrats and the media and the Democrats are getting panicked because the old charges and are just not working and they're out of control.
I agree. I think you're right.
And Americans are mad for so many different reasons, but parents, when you rile them up, it's like mama and papa bears.
No, I agree.
It's not going to be pretty.
Remember, Leslie, you were there, so you remember it as well as anybody. Whenever I would see a Tea Party rally, we had a huge one here in Dallas, Texas, July 4th, 2009. I mean, a big one, huge one. And if you were if you would look at the crowd, you know, from anywhere, the crowd was full of families, fathers, mothers, and young children who were there. And that's kind of what you're seeing with this rebellion. You see father and mothers and kids, sort of the parents are fighting for the kids. And you're right. If you want to lose an election, make the parents angry. I mean, that's all I can say. Well, Leslie, I want to thank you so much for joining us. I'm already looking forward to our next one, especially on the California recall. Whenever you're ready on that, let us know. And anytime you write something on legal insurrection that you want to come in and talk about it, well, you're always invited. We have an open invitation to you anytime you want to talk about something, especially with COVID, because I think you're right. I think there are going to be some big stories that you're going to be writing over the next few weeks. So, Leslie, once again, thank you for your time. Have a wonderful weekend. Say hello to Blake. And tell him to enjoy his little time off, and my best to your family as well, Leslie.
Yeah, God bless and keep you, Beatrice, Lincoln, and the rest of your clan and family. And, again, just have a very wonderful Father's Day and a happy July 4th as well, because I think we're going to talk after that.
That's
so,
right. Well, I'll give you a little secret. I'll share a little secret with you, and that is that I think you know that we have a second grandson coming. And we have another one coming around August 1st. And his first name is going to be Noah, N-O-N-H, Noah. So we're going to have a Noah in the family here in less than 2 months. So I'll show you his picture when little Noah comes to the world. It'll be cool to have another little Canto running around. Leslie, wonderful time as always. Thank you so much. And thank you so much, and congratulations on all the great work that you do at Legal Insurrection. You're absolutely great.
All right. Thank you, Silvio. Bye-bye.
Thank you so much. Our good friend Leslie Eastman, contributor to Legal Insurrection, and she writes a lot about COVID, and that's why I always like to have her on, because if you follow her articles, she's got the training and the experience, and she's a real professional. Sure, she looks at the facts, and she's well-prepared when it comes to writing about COVID. We certainly hope that you check your stuff on Legal Insurrection. Thank you very much for listening. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, and we'll talk to you later.